The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Well, hi, everybody, and good evening. Tonight we'll be, well, it's night here anyway, we'll be meditating on the theme of resurrection. For the 3 days before the actual full moon, we're told that the Christ in the hierarchy chooses various subjects, and the three subjects chosen, they are keynotes of the sign Gemini. Let's see, I'm trying to get there to the point. Yeah, here it is, the second meditation. Love was yesterday, resurrection today, and contact for tomorrow. And then we'll be moving into the actual pre-full moon meditation on Sunday night. And then there will be the morning, Monday morning, at least here in Europe, the Monday morning broadcast. And so all of these are webinars up to this point. And I'd just like to welcome you, Annette, Barbara, Carl, Catherine, Chris, Damien, Dilara, Helen, Joan, and it's Karim Jui. I'm sorry if I'm not, no, I, excuse me. I think that's going to be a little different, actually. Oh, I forgot. And Antoinette, you're there too. Barbara, Catherine, let's see if I have everybody. Chris, Damien, Dilara, Julie, and it's Marion, it is. Kay, Laura, Leah, Loretta, Louise, Maria, Mariut, Martha, and Michael, and another Michael, Michael Mutram and Michael Starkrow, Myrna, Nicole, two Nicoles, Nicole Claude, Nicole Reshiniti, Nienke, Charlene, Tia, Ivenica, and Zenaide, and then Veronica. Welcome, everybody. And backing us up here on the staff side, we have B.L., Allison, and Michael Stacy. Trying to make sure I don't get into too much trouble here. Okay. So this is the second day of preparation, and our keynote is resurrection. It's such an important theme, having to do, interestingly enough, with the seventh initiation. We have learned that the usual resurrection, as it is counted in the West, is seen as the rising out of the grave of the Master Jesus following his crucifixion. And then, so we might associate it with the fifth initiation. But in fact, the fifth initiation in occultism is called the revelation, and the actual resurrection onto the cosmic, let's see here if I can get this correct, cosmic supermonadic plane, the logoic plane. This takes the Christ and the Buddha. They are both located on this particular plane. It's the highest plane in Shambhala, which shows that they are presently passing through, and it's a long-term passage, passing through the seventh initiation. Well, that's lying far ahead of us. We don't have to worry so much about that. But the kind of initiation offered in Gemini is a very long term. And a kind of high point of love was reached, we are told, in the mid-40s, 1943 perhaps. The Gemini rules what's called the head of the cosmic Christ. And it was at that time that the Christ was beginning to decide that he would appear in person in his Mayava Rupa for the next 2,500 years. Now, usually the term of a bodhisattva lasts some 2,500 years, and the Christ extended his term by another equal term, which would mean a 5,000-year presence with us as the major bodhisattva for the human race. And this, of course, somehow reflects the fact that there's an overlap between the constellation Pisces and the constellation Aquarius. We're entering the age of Aquarius, and these two constellations are overlapped with each other, and the Christ did something on his own level which reflected that kind of continuity. Okay, friends, so let's get into this. I'm going to adapt this meditation just a little bit, but the idea is the cooperation of the Christ and the Buddha and the entire hierarchy in preparing for the moment of the Gemini full moon. This is the festival of the Christ, it's called. It's the festival of humanity. It's the festival of goodwill. It's also sometimes called in the East the Asala festival. It has many names, many names. And our idea is to relate to each other in what's called fraternity. The names of the three lords of liberation, liberty, Aquarius, equality, which is Libra, and fraternity, which is Gemini, so that a true brotherhood can cover all of humanity by the end of the Aquarian age. But of course, in order to do that, humanity has to wake up. And resurrection is very much connected with the sign Aries, which is the sign of awakening and plunging into an entirely new cycle. And that's what we are in the process of doing this next 100 years, which will be the overlap period, the final overlap period between the age of Pisces and the age of Aquarius. There's a retrogression, you know, we seem to move backwards through the constellations. It's largely a question of the direction in which the axis of the Earth is turning. All right. So let's get into this together and do our best to continue to prepare for the actual coming full moon. It's a process, really. All these days we seek a certain point of tension which allows the higher of the pairs of opposites to grow in its radiance and to influence the more natural part of the human being so that that human being becomes translucent and eventually transparent and becomes a fit vehicle or instrument for the higher directing energies. So let's just have a little bit of a few moments of quiet. And in these moments, we feel ourselves to be increasingly soul infused. The higher light, the higher love, the higher sacrificial will pour into the vehicle, into the personality. And we're forming together a field of consciousness which is unified and which can receive, we hope, energies from the spiritual triad, eventually that the focus where the masters now focus their consciousness. Let's reach out in soul to all the men and women of goodwill, in all the countries of the world. And also to those more intent servers, the members of the new group of world servers, who really are the Ajna Center, we are told, of Sanat Kumara. Maybe we feel ourselves to be a member of that serving group. And we try to strengthen the hands of the new group of world servers and see their light augmenting. And we see the many dimmer lights of human beings all over the world, the average non-aspiring people who really don't know about these possibilities yet. But the light in them can grow, whether they're in the body or out of the body, and somehow in the feeling or expression of soul, we are one with all the souls of human beings and with the soul of humanity. We realize that on our planet there's no place the soul does not extend this lighted, loving, sacrificial consciousness, which focuses on the higher mental plane for now and still higher, and also descends into the denser worlds of personality. And somehow, we touch everybody in soul, and we can ponder on the very powerful second ray mantram. It's just a sentence, really, but it shows our relationship to the soul of the world, and especially to the soul of humanity. Naught is but me. Naught is but me. So that tells us, doesn't it, that we really, in our soul nature, are omnipresent. Wherever we may go, on whatever plane, just starting, let us say, with our globe and its chain, the earth chain, there we are. And somehow we are identified, not just with our own form, or any aspect of that form, but whatever we see, whatever, let's say, in the human race, whatever human being we see, whether in the body or out of the body, we are somehow that being also. And we can extend it to all the beings, all the sentient beings on our planet, and there's nothing but sentient beings. There's nothing inorganic, as it were. So just feel the expansiveness of this mantram, naught is but me. And of course, it's a very different me, isn't it? It's nothing personal. It's a great impersonal being. That's what we are. And we can gather more and more of this impression if we can touch the spiritual triad. Let us salute all together. We'll tune in on the great figures of hierarchy and then salute them with the Om. The great Lord of Light and Wisdom on the in Shambhala and on the Logoic Plane, the Buddha, we tune in. And also on the Logoic Plane, the great Bodhisattva, the Christ, the Lord Maitreya. These are real beings. They are really here. We are really in a state, we hope, of cooperation with them. We tune in, approaching together the Christ. We think about the Master Maurya, the head of all the esoteric schools and organizations. We tune in. We think about the Master Kuhumi, whose ashram is particularly concerned with the reappearance of the Christ. He'll be the Bodhisattva of the age of Capricorn. He is the teacher of Master DK. We tune in. And the Master DK, who has given us the blue books and is the messenger, training disciples for initiation. We tune in. And whoever may be our master or the one whom we imagine will be the master when the time is right, we tune in. And with the entire hierarchy of the planet, the many masters, not all of them work with humanity, but the ones especially who do. And we salute them all together and we voice our willingness, our intention to cooperate with them in the manifestation of the divine plan. Oh. So at a time like this, when these beings are all cooperating with each other, we seek to be attuned to their quality of energy and to understand something about the keynotes which are being offered to us in terms of energies at this time. And let the purpose of Shambhala, although we cannot yet fathom it, let it descend through the divine plan. And let us intend to follow that purpose as much as we can, so that purpose, divine purpose, and certainly the divine plan become real factors in our lives of discipleship, our group life, our lives of cooperation with the spiritual hierarchy of the planet. And so our alignment, at least imaginatively, reaches into the triadal areas, which are impersonal, into the soul, which is transpersonal, and we stand as personalities who are increasingly soul-infused. We're reaching up towards the great Shambhala. We know the name, but do we know the energy? And gradually over the years, we will know the energy. As we reach into the energies available, Mercury bringing all manner of communication from high to low, Venus esoterically drawing soul and personality together, representing the solar angel, and finally the earth, the field of service. Without the work of Venus and Mercury, the earth would be much farther away from becoming the sacred planet it must be. And the light of interplay is pouring forth at this time from Gemini. And the great god of love, our solar logos, where our monads have their temporary home, this great logos is shining throughout his solar system, making each one of us potentially a unit of love wisdom. We are basically, fundamentally, whatever our rays may be, at this time, a unit of love wisdom within the sphere of the great solar logos, who is a great heart center and a still greater being. Our God is a consuming fire of love. And in Gemini, with its big second ray, we can bring the opposites together through the power of love, rather than have them battle with each other frictionally. We can bring them together in unity. So there's great sensitivity in this sign, and everything touched can become alive, and the higher cosmic ethers can be transferred into the lower, and the message or messages from on high can make their impression as we deal with the forces of reconstruction, reconstructing the world along better lines, which reflect love and wisdom. Also, in the great variety which our planet offers, let unity prevail. Let the many opposites be merged and blended. Let love and wisdom prevail. All of this under the sign Gemini. I recognize my other self. And in the waning of that self, I grow and glow. I, the soul, I, the higher consciousness, recognize my instrumental self, and in the waning of that self, or its becoming a sub-ray of what I am, I, the true observing being, grow and glow. So in Gemini, we surely learn that we are the higher of the pairs of opposites. And we learn the right relationship with the instrumental man that we usually have identified with, but now seek no longer to identify with, because our true home is in the heavens. And we begin to live finally, truly, the subjective life. I recognize my other self, and in the waning of that self, I grow and glow. And over the next few days, it's Friday now, we have Saturday, Sunday, and Monday is the actual full moon. Let us build the point of tension in which this spiritual mantra for Gemini becomes real to us. Let us have the sense that we are indeed the inner being, the inner individual. And the ordinary outer man is really simply instrumental to our inner and higher purposes. And then we will live increasingly in the world of the soul, as the soul, in the higher light, under the power of the star Pollux, a supergiant star who represents really the higher self. I recognize my other self, and in the waning of that self, I grow and glow. And so finally, we will be guided by the angel and, in a sense, become the angel itself as we make our way to the presence, the influence of the monad in our lives. Now we reach that point where we think of the two brothers in the light, the Christ and the Buddha, the Christ for the Western Hemisphere, the Buddha for the Eastern, the Lord of Light, Wisdom, the Buddha, the Lord of Love, Wisdom, the Christ. One is Mercury, one is Venus. And together they will teach in such a way that the fully illumined human being may result and the true member of hierarchy may emerge. We're preparing to hear the Christ inwardly sound the last sermon of the Buddha. It was such an important sermon as he was preparing to make his transition that the Christ at the Festival of Humanity every year at this Gemini full moon re-enunciates the last sermon. And it's been variously presented and translated, of course, but we have one that we use and we'll build up towards hearing that last sermon, which enjoins us to be strong, to be resolute, to rely upon ourselves, a very occult statement, of course. It doesn't just mean the personality self, obviously. The Buddha was the lion. He had a first-ray personality, the Tibetan tells us. It was a very rigorous training, and it's still with us today. So we're gathering various statements from the last sermon as we prepare to hear the entirety of the last sermon as we move towards the full moon. So the body's cravings, freedom from the body's cravings, that was the subject last night. And the Christ reading the words of the Buddha, or of course he knows them by heart, so to speak, he enunciated the need to be free from the cravings of the body. And now the next type of freedom we have to achieve. That while subject to sensations, let him, the chela, that's who we are, let him continue so to regard the sensations that he, being strenuous, thoughtful, and mindful, may, whilst in the world, overcome the grief which arises from the sensations. The Buddha is attempting to help us free ourselves from the worlds of phenomena, outer phenomena, really from the dense physical body of the planetary logos. He didn't speak in those terms, but the Tibetan does, and the possibility of entering the true realm of life, the cosmic ethers. So again, may we be, you know, while subject to sensations, may he, the disciple, continue so to regard the sensations that he, being strenuous, thoughtful, and mindful, may, whilst in the world, overcome the grief which arises from the sensations. And of course, the sensation of pain is a big one, you know, and all of the ways we can be afflicted in our hearing, our sense of touch, our sense of sight, the sense of taste, the sense of smell. But we overcome this. So let us affirm in ourselves that we can be strenuous, thoughtful, and mindful. In the overcoming of the grief which arises from sensations, and let us resolve to be so, resolve to be strenuous, thoughtful, and mindful in overcoming these fetters, this form of grief. The Buddha really taught detachment. It's the great virtue if one is to become the truly accepted disciple, and he did prepare disciples to become accepted disciples, and we're told that the Christ brought many forward into the path of initiation. The Buddha's messages were sometimes for highly advanced disciples, arhats, fourth degree initiates, and sometimes for the average disciple. As we should consider ourselves. So, we release a feeling and expression of profound gratitude to the great Buddha, the head of the hierarchy from approximately the year 3000 BC until approximately 500 BC, we release great gratitude for all he has done to prepare humanity for greater degrees of freedom and for the true discipleship and for the true illumination which can for each one of us reflect in small measure that huge illumination which he experienced under the Bodhi tree at the sixth initiation. And may we learn to follow his path laid out in all simplicity, but it is a path which only the strenuous, the thoughtful, and the mindful can successfully follow. So he is one of our great teachers, and we now refocus our attention on the Christ. and with a great heartfelt attentiveness, an inner imaginative attentiveness. We listen inwardly, imagining that we hear the Christ sounding the great invocation, and we allow a period for silent absorption of this imagined sounding. At first he sounds the great invocation alone, by himself. And here, for those who may not know it, we listen inwardly with sensitivity, as if the great Lord Maitreya is sounding the great invocation. So it's as if the great Lord inwardly has sounded this invocation with unbelievable power. And this time we listen as if the Christ, joined by the hierarchy, you know, by two of the other great lords, by the masters of the wisdom working most closely with humanity, we as if hear them together intoning the second stanza of the great invocation, the stanza of love. We ponder on the deep significance of the words of this second section of the invocation. We imagine the love of God pervading humanity and the planet. And we see the human race characterized by right human relations, and our planet expressing its great second ray soul. So that love and true helpfulness from man to man, nation to nation, continent to continent may prevail. And it will be true, as Master Moria has said, that in the future human beings will vie with each other to see who can do the most good. Now we're going to contemplate the second keynote. Last night, love, and now resurrection. And see what it means to us. Together as a group soul, we ponder the keynote of resurrection, emphasizing the new note of livingness, of the living Christ, and of that life more abundantly, which wars, privation, suffering have made possible by forcing a return to real values. We're dealing now with a very Aquarian theme. We're dealing with the cosmic ethers, the Buddhic, Atmic, Monadic, and Logoic planes, the truly spiritual worlds. We're dealing with the livingness that is found in those worlds. Aquarius, with its esoteric ruler Jupiter, is the bringer of life more abundantly through Shambhala and to all aspects of our planet. And so we ponder together on the keynote of resurrection, emphasizing the new note of livingness, of the living Christ, and of that life more abundantly, which wars, privation, and suffering have made possible by forcing a return to real values. So we take some quiet time together to reflect upon this keynote. we probably don't realize as vividly as we should the difference between living in the 18 lower subplanes and even the 21 lower subplanes when contrasted with living in the true areas of life on the 28 higher subplanes, the four major planes ruled by the element air, where we can really breathe in the livingness intended for the human being. We probably don't realize that, but we're going to focus on those higher subplanes of the cosmic physical plane and be resurrected into the area of Shambhala through its four gates, Buddhic, Atmic, Monadic, and Logoic. The Antikarana will lead us there, and Gemini and Mercury will help us build this Antikarana. So let us cumulatively gather the meaning of love and resurrection, and we'll add to it tomorrow the keynote of contact, vibrant living contact. So we envision then the spirit of resurrection in all of our lives, a response to the life more abundantly. The Christ looked upon us and said, "Poor ones." And he said, "I come that they may have life more abundantly." This life more abundantly growing in ourselves and all human beings. How may we express this new note of livingness? Especially at this time when it is being given such a stimulation, perhaps it can anchor itself in our lives, and we can be more spiritually alive than we have been ever before. So let us cumulatively add the testimony of each of these days of keynote preparation, so that by the time we reach the full moon, we really are prepared to participate as close to the hierarchy as we can in this great festival of the Christ, and to participate in World Invocation Day, which is that day, Monday, when we can sound out loud, when possible, or internally, as necessary, the great invocation every 15 minutes, every half hour, every hour, whatever becomes possible for you. So let us be swept by these energies and taken in by them, sense them, not be separated from them. They are growing, they are real, they are behind the scenes, and we are meant to be impressed by them. So now we affirm our solidarity with the Buddha and the Christ and the assembled hierarchy. I'm sorry for this. Something's going on the right side of my computer here. These pop-ups are coming up, but just please ignore them. I'll do the best I can. We affirm our solidarity with the Buddha and the Christ, with the assembled hierarchy, and however we can, we seek to identify with them. And to merge our purpose with their purpose. they are intently working at this time, and we can join in their great planetary purposes. And as we merge with them, we too, as they do, can bless the world, the kingdoms of nature, and especially humanity. No matter what human being it may be, essentially that human being is reality, is the essence, is really the same as we are. So, like a radiant sun, we bless humanity. We pause for a moment of appreciation of the illumined, loving energies of the constellation Gemini, very beautiful to behold in the night sky. And we feel ourselves imbued with these energies which are growing in strength as the full moon approaches. We really do want to be imbued by these energies, and we have the opportunity for it. They are light energies, sensitive, uplifting, and those factors can come into our life. And so we will close our meditation as if in union with the Christ, the hierarchy, the Buddha, and all disciples in the world. We imagine a great group. We imagine a great group sounding now of the second stanza of the great invocation with the Christ, the Buddha, the hierarchy, and all disciples of the world. We imagine a group sounding, and we sense the manner in which hierarchical love leads to the life more abundantly and to the resurrection of the spirit in humanity and in each one of us. So we imagine this group sounding from the point of love within the heart of God. Let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. One day this great invocation will be so popular that it really will be sounded all over the world by so many millions and the big changes will come. So friends, thank you. Tomorrow night, contact, and at 5 p.m. GMT, as it now stands, we'll work on the soul of nations, especially from the Geminian point of view, which increases the lines of contact between them. Then at 8 p.m. contact, and then the next night we'll work on the pre-full moon, and finally on Monday there will be the actual full moon broadcast, and we'll see whether I'm able to bring some additional webinar in on identification as being. It'll be quite late in Europe, probably 1 o'clock in the morning here in Europe, but let's see whether that materializes, whether that unfolds. So I'm very grateful that you have been able to attend. I thank you all, and I thank BL and Michael for being here to back everything up. And we'll be seeing you tomorrow. Let's set that point of tension, which brings about greater receptivity, increase and increase as we move towards the most sensitive point, the actual moment of the Festival of the Christ, the actual full moon in Gemini. Lots of love, many blessings. Tuya is at the Arcane School Conference in London. I know she sends her love and blessings, and we're with you. So, see you then. See you soon. Bye-bye.